So good morning, everyone. It's good to see you and be with you. Just want to say that I am grand dog sitting for two large dogs, and they may whine. So if you hear that, it's not me or my stomach. And well, I'll get to later. So I wanted to just quickly review our parsha today. It's Va'era, which means "and I appeared." So it's God talking that He appeared to Moshe. And the first thing is that God says, "I appeared to your ancestors as El Shaddai," using the name El Shaddai, so that all of the patriarchs and the people that came before the generation of Moshe, God says that was my manifestation, which translates as God Almighty. I like to think of it as the God of destiny, that the patriarchs were, being led out of Canaan, and were becoming a people, and sort of that was their original destiny. And then God says, "But I will appear to you, this generation of Hebrews that are in Egypt, enslaved, and future generations as Yod-Heh Vav-Heh, as the God of all being." And so, there's an understanding that somehow God is going to be manifest differently or additionally starting now. So that's an open question as to how or what that means that maybe we'll get to in the discussion. And very soon after, God says, "I'm going to have you go to Pharaoh and ask that the people be led out." And it says, "Below Shamu el Moshe mipnei kotzer ruach ve'avodah kasha," that they won't listen to Moshe when he says that because of kotzer ruach, which is usually, it's literally means short spirit. It's colloquially used as impatient, but it also means sort of disheartened or dispirited. So they won't listen because of that, and also because of avodah kasha, because of hard work, their work of slavery, and them being burdened by that. And from this, we learn something that I'll come back to a little bit later, that listening is a key to liberation, that the Jews didn't listen or were predicted not to listen to Moshe. And so liberation didn't happen immediately because listening is a part of liberation. So then the instructions for Moshe to go to Pharaoh and tell him send the people out, and Moshe demurs and he says, "I'm of uncircumcised lips, so how can I go to Pharaoh? And you just said the people aren't going to listen to me. Why would Pharaoh listen to me?" And God sets the charge to both Israel and Pharaoh, both Bnei Yisrael and Pharaoh, lehotzi et Bnei Yisrael mimitzrayim. So that was interesting to me that both Bnei Yisrael and Pharaoh were supposed to take the people out of Egypt. So we can come back to that. Then there's the listing of the heads of all the tribes, and it's sort of it's not a genealogy, but it's naming the different groupings of people. And then Moshe again says, "How can I go to Pharaoh? I have uncircumcised lips." And God then says, "Aaron will be your mouthpiece, so to speak." And then the plagues begin, the reciting of the plagues and the hardheartedness that comes from that. And just before the first plague, there's a miracle where Moshe's rod turns into a snake, and the Egyptian courtiers, I guess they were magicians, could also do that. And then there were the plagues of water turning into blood, frogs, lice. It mentions in the next plague, gnats, that it didn't happen in Goshen, where the Israelites were living. And then there was cattle disease. And that's sort of where the end of this parsha is. So first of all, the parsha is in the middle between last week's parsha Shemot, where we hear a Pharaoh who didn't know Moshe, and we you know, we learn about the slavery, and then now the push to take the Jews out of slavery happens, but the ending plagues don't come until further down. In further Parshiot, we have the end of the plagues and then the crossing of the Red Sea. So we're in the middle of this place of liberation, or this process of liberation, I should say. And just a personal comment for me is the reason that we're dog sitting this weekend for our grand dogs is because my son and his wife had a new baby last Sunday, and the Bris will be, thank you, the Bris will be this Sunday. And so we have the dogs for a bit until this afternoon so that they could get the new baby settled and his older three-year-old brother without these big dogs licking the baby and all that. But it's also between, for me, it's between a birth and a circumcision. And this parsha, you'll see, talks about circumcision in another way. The penis is not the only part of the body that's referred to with circumcision. As we just heard, Moshe says, "I have uncircumcised lips." And there are other places in our tradition where we talk about circumcision of the heart. So it's something to think about, that circumcision is, we usually think of the result of circumcision, which is the sign of the covenant. But circumcision itself is a removal of a blockage, or what is understood as extra piece. And certainly with circumcision of the heart, it's removing a blockage from your heart. And that's probably what Pharaoh needed to not have such a hard heart. And he never managed to have anything removed, I guess. But anyway, there's this sense of being in the middle of this bigger process. And this, because the liberation is also, there are midrashim that talk about a birthing process, and literally that when our people went through the Red Sea, you know, after they got out of Egypt, that was the birth canal. And then they open up to the wideness of the desert on the other side. So that's coming out of this narrow place of Egypt, which is like the womb, and going through a birth canal out into the desert to this new life ahead of them. So now I want to return to my question that starts at the end of the parsha, and I'll go back more towards the beginning. So the question is, who are the plagues for? So we tend to think of the plagues as, you know, for Pharaoh, to get him to change his mind, to cooperate, to not keep the people enslaved. And that's certainly one answer. If we go back to the idea that the Jewish people, the Hebrews, couldn't listen to Pharaoh because of being dispirited, kotzer ruach, and Avodah Kashah, this slavery, this being burdened. And the idea that listening is a step in liberation. So the people couldn't listen to Moshe at the beginning. So if he came to them and said, you know, there's this wonderful God and she's gonna bring us out of Egypt, and it might be a little challenging, but it's gonna happen, and the people could get excited and start to have some hope, the process might have looked a little different. We don't know, because we don't know about Pharaoh's behavior, but if that would have been any different. But the people didn't respond that way. They couldn't even hear what Moshe was saying. So cantor Susan Caro writes that liberation requires great patience. This kotzar ruach, another way of translating shortness of spirit, is impatience. And because of impatience, they couldn't hear what Moshe was saying, because they were miserable and they wanted it now. They couldn't hear that this was something God would be bringing to them, but it might be a process. So it requires this tremendous amount of patience and a discipline to take small necessary steps, even if the pain isn't removed immediately. And she writes, full acceptance of what is awakens the power of listening. So to really listen is to be able to hear the fullness of what's going on, and to be able to incorporate the hard parts into maybe what are your hopes for the better parts to come. And she says, Caro says, so this is a paradox, that one must patiently be in order to become. I really like that phrase. One must patiently be in order to become. And then we come to this hard slavery, the Avodah Kashah, that our people were experiencing. And it's for us, we're not enslaved in the same way they were, but we may be enslaved to our work or to just staying busy all the time, could be for a whole host of reasons, or being oppressed in any way, whether it's the horrible oppression of people in our country and in the world right now, or it's a much more spiritual oppression that is very subtle and not so obvious, or the daily burdens that many of us live with, that all of those kinds of things can make it very, very difficult to hear our possibilities of liberation, our possibilities of having hope that can move us towards a change that can make things more uplifting, more in line with where we want to be. So then there's also the recidivism, I'll call it, the slipping back after there's a crisis, that we have a crisis that holds us back, and then something occurs so that we move on from the crisis, and it's so easy to slip back into the old ways where we weren't listening to things. And this is, you know, part of what Pharaoh was going through, at least one way of understanding that, because I know there's always the question of, did God harden his heart or did he harden his own heart? So I'm just going to bring in one other part before I open it up, and that is that this adds, for me, something new about the Shema being such a central prayer in our tradition, because it's not just it's listening in a way that we hear that this liberation, this divinity that can support the world, or this holy way of being that can support the world, we have to really listen for it, and listen within ourselves, and listen for where it exists in the universe, and try to connect with it. That's what the Echad at the end of the Shema is about, is to try to promote this Echad with the divinity that exists, or the sacredness that exists, so that we can act on it and strengthen those connections, and provide more connections for more people. I read recently parts of a book at a home that I was house sitting with Mike for a weekend, and there were all these tempting books in this house. One of them is by Lisbeth Lipari, Lipari, and I didn't write down the title. I don't have it right in front of me, but I can get it for you. It's the idea that she builds around is that that communication is usually talked about in terms of different forms of speech, whether it's an actual speech, or it's, you know, communicating through art or music. It's putting out something that's communication towards. And she says that in order to communicate, there are thought processes that go on in our head, and that we listen to those processes. That's speech in our head. Thinking is speech in our head, and we listen to it, and that results in whatever kind of speech we create, whether it's talking in words, writing in words, or it's music, art, etc. And so communication really starts with listening, not with communicating, the way we usually think of it. And so the Shema and what Lipari is saying just provide a lot of richness for this whole idea, and for how the plagues, my question, who were the plagues for? That it's perhaps the plagues were also for our people, that somehow they needed to listen to what was going on to realize, oh, there really is some power bigger than Moshe, you know, and Moshe's not just a great leader, but he's inspired by something that's creating all this stuff that he even can't do. And that's a kind of listening. And so the plagues were this step-by-step increase of patience and listening that our people needed to adapt to be able to be ready for freedom. So now the floor is open for your thoughts, speech, comments, silence, or questions. Bobby, I think that's your